I felt the Lord really calling me to do some expository preaching, is what it's called, rather than me, you know, show up and be like, well, it's Christmas time, I'm going to preach on Christmas, that kind of thing. I don't want to hear from me. I don't want it to be from me. I was like, I want it to be from God, and I want to touch on the things in the Word that maybe I'm not going to think of. I want God to do the guiding. So anyway, I'm excited that I get to go through the book of John. So just a small recap of what's been happening in the book of John, and starting in chapter 4, is Jesus, he's going to Samaria, okay? So a little bit of background. He's heading to Samaria, and he just so happens to run into this woman at the well. And the Samaritans and the Jews, they have some differences on where to truly worship, right? Is it the mountain? Is it the temple? There's a disagreement. So the Samaritan, she's like, why are you even talking to me? You know we don't get along. And Jesus is like, well, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a day when we don't worship in a mountain. Where we don't, it doesn't matter where you worship, it's going to be in spirit. And she's like, huh. And so Jesus, just so you know, Jesus doesn't look on outward appearances. Jesus doesn't care about our differences. He doesn't care about how we look, right? He loves us all, and a wonderful thing it is. And so anyhow, Jesus brings up her sin that she was in, right? He brings that right up, hits her right on the nose with it. And a lot of time, that's how Jesus deals with us. And so again, I'm giving you the background. Jesus reveals himself saying in verse number 26, as I go backwards, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Because she said, well, okay, I'll back up. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus says, that guy you're talking about, I am he. And so Jesus does that. He reveals himself to her. And then lastly, last little bit of review, she now goes into town and gathers men, and they come unto Jesus to hear his words. She goes into town and she's like, come see this man that told me everything I ever did. And all these people start to come, right? And so just so you know, Jesus plants one little seed thought in her head, and she goes out and witnesses. She's like, you ain't gonna believe this. Like, we got a witness for the Lord right now already. She's a soul winner. And she only heard one little message, right? So this is cool. And today, I want us to kind of look at this message like a mirror, okay? I'm gonna say some things. They're not gonna be profound, okay? I'm not going to win you with cunning words. I'm not going to tell funny jokes. But what I'm gonna do is I'm going to challenge your heart, right? And that's what the Word has been doing through the book of John with me. And so as I communicate that, let the Lord be glorified in it. And as I said in Silver Creek, I don't want to pick on anybody. Sometimes I deliver this hardly, but I love you enough. I want to encourage you in the Word. Okay, so, but words are funny, okay? John 31 through 43 is where we're going to be reading. So let's read John 31 through 42. 31, 42. Okay. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And boy, I just love when the Word goes through and it describes God in this characteristic, right? Christ the Savior of the world, Christ the Redeemer, Christ the Great Healer, Christ the Prophet. Like all these things, they reveal us something about our Lord that we can say, wow, God is also this. Like God runs out of nicknames. Or no, God never runs out of nicknames. He's constantly like revealing himself in a different way. And it's, to me, it's just a wonderful reminder that we can never have too high of thoughts of God. You can never like say, oh God, I think I thought a little bit of, you know, you too highly. It ain't gonna happen with the Lord, right? God is so good. And so anyhow, Jesus here though, he's so funny. And the Lord, he kind of, I don't know, maybe he's like me, but, or maybe I'm like him. But he says, the first thing he says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of, right? And his disciples confused him as all get out, right? So words are kind of funny. It's like when you describe a guitar. It's like, man, that guitar is cool. And then another guy's be like, man, that guitar is hot. And the guy's like, is it hot or cool? Right? Words are just kind of funny like that. And I've been reminded of that from time to time. But this interaction with Jesus, he's using spiritual, physical things and making them spiritual, right? Like the part with the water in John chapter 4, 14. I'll just read this to you. He says, just a couple of verses backwards. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And everyone's like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Like, they don't hear this stuff. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Right? I have water that you will never thirst again. And everyone's like, what are you talking about, Jesus? So he does that. Jesus is fun like that. And so the parables of Jesus operate the same way. Jesus takes an earthly story and gives it a heavenly meaning. Even the disciples were questioning Jesus, and they had to ask amongst themselves, like, hey, have you guys given him something to eat, right? So Jesus speaks this way, and he hasn't revealed the truth yet. And in Mark chapter 4, he kind of gives a little bit more insight to that. His disciples ask, and Jesus has to later explain. And so as a reminder, if God's speaking to your heart and you don't know exactly what he's trying to say and get you to do, don't worry. He's going to explain himself. God's not going to leave you in the dark on that. And that's what I get from this, is like the Lord may be communicating me and I'm not getting it. But he's going to explain it, or something's going to happen. I'll be like, that's what you meant, Lord. That's why you needed me to follow you. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verse 33 goes on to say, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. So, Jesus, he talks in parables, and then when he was alone, he would explain those, right? And Jesus chooses parables to reveal the truth to them when he says things like, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish the work, right? We can see here that Jesus is basically saying that what sustains him is the work of the Father, right? And so as I'm reading this to preach it, to teach it, I think to myself, I need to internalize this, okay? Is serving the Lord what sustains me? Or is it my job? Or is it my reputation? Or is it that I can play music? Or is it that I do magic? Or is it that I do this or that, right? Is it God's work where I get my identity? These are all questions. It's good to just hold up the mirror and be like, wow, where's the inhibitions, where is the motivation of my heart? That's what I guess what I'm trying to say is where am I getting my gusto? Jesus is our greatest example, right? If a Christian wants to be all in for God, doing God's will is the starting point. Doing what God wants you to do, right? We've got to start there. And so that doesn't look the same for everyone though, right? Obviously. God's equipped us all differently, and praise the Lord for that. I don't want to do some of the things that maybe some other brothers do, like count money. I don't want to count money. I want to serve kids, right? Praise the Lord that I'm equipped differently. And so who is your example right now on earth, right? I know God is our example. Jesus is our example, but he sent people here to be our example that we can follow. Jesus isn't walking around saying, you know, follow me anymore. We have his word, praise the Lord, but who's our earthly example? And that person God put here in this church, right, to serve you, to love you, to support you, counsel you, pray for you, even correct you, right? It's your pastor. It's my pastor, right? God has equipped pastors to walk this life out so that we can look at a pastor and be like, that looks like Jesus, right? Now, we're reminded, I think it's Jim Collins, maybe, Made into His Image. Who wrote that book? You guys are going through it in ladies' class?
We did about a year ago.
Oh, wow, it's been that long. Okay, was it Jim Collins?
Jim Berg,
thank you. He says what God does is he like invigorates the Holy Spirit of God, takes the Word of God, and uses that to make you become like the Son of God. Right? That's like this natural process. And that is just awesome. But that's exactly right. So that when you guys see me, it's unfortunate if you see guys steal, right? But if you see Jesus Christ, that's the purpose. God is using all of this to just help us to become like Jesus so that we look on each other, we just see God. Wonderful. That like excites me. Okay. Anyway, where are we? Yep, he gives us our pastor. We are the flock. It's a good reminder. This isn't profound, I know, but it's good to just internalize. He is our example. Paul himself says, follow me as I follow Christ, right? 1 Corinthians 11:1. And I just want to kind of nail this point home because it's we don't worship our pastor. We know this. We don't exalt our pastor above Jesus, but we have an earthly example. And our pastor understands that really richly, right? Pastor Andrew is solid in that. The Bible says here, 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ, right? And that isn't, Paul's not saying follow me because I'm awesome, even though Paul's pretty awesome. Paul's not saying that. He's not saying, follow me because I'm Jesus or I'm a savior. That's not what Paul is communicating, okay? He knew he was following God, so he knew that he would be a good example for someone to follow in order to get closer to God. We all want to be used as, you know, we all want someone to like look at us and say, hey, you've got something I want. Because we want them to want what God gives, right? And at least that's what I want. I want people to desire God. I want God to use me and be like, you know what? You helped me deepen my relationship with God because of whatever they were able to witness or whatever. That's like an honor, right? Because it's them pointing to you and saying, there's God in you. That's a beautiful thing. Okay. We look to pastors. We can't follow Paul. He's not here. He's dead. He's in heaven. God gives us pastors. Our pastors are in the Word and they're praying. So in Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7, the disciples figured this out, right? The disciples nailed it. Acts chapter 6. And so as pastors are out, they're doing their thing. Here we go. Got it. They figured it out fast, right? There's so much work to do as a pastor, right? The pastor's doing ride-alongs. The pastor's doing this and that. And our pastor chooses to do these things, but our pastor doesn't have all the time in the world to do everything. Check out what the disciples had to figure out when they realized there was way too much work to do in the ministry and they were only one people's. Read with me in verse 1. We're going down to verse number 7. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, okay? Disciples were multiplying from 12 to they were making more, okay? There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration, okay? The disciples knew that there were people being ignored. And then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So this scripture, part of scripture, reminds me that, boy, the disciples recognized pretty quickly that there's a whole lot of work, and they were like, wow, we need to appoint people to take this on, okay? And so, therefore, we had our first deacon, Stephen. He was our first deacon, and he was to take care of the widows, but along with all these other men that I had never heard of, actually. So that's fun stuff. We can follow pastors, is the point. We can follow our pastor as they follow Christ. We don't elevate them over Christ. Again, we all follow God, and God uses them. So back to the verse. I'm going back to John now, John chapter 4. And at the end of verse 34, if I can get here. This is where things get good for me. I'm just like, yeah, let's get here, because I wanted to speak on this. Jesus says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me," and then booyah, mic drop, "and to finish his work." Right? Oh yeah, that's good. And so I'm sitting here, I'm writing this message, and I'm like, okay, I gotta come up with an illustration. Lord, what am I gonna do? And he reminds me. Have you guys ever just got up and you're like going somewhere and you're like, all of a sudden you stop and you're in this room and you're like, why am I here? Like, am I the only person that does that? Or you even stand up and you like take two steps and you're like, why am I standing? Like, that happens to me, okay? And so I forget to what I'm doing. Like, it's so funny. And then I got to think, okay, oh, I got something in my hand. Or like, okay, what was I doing? And then you got to retrace your steps kind of in your brain. Yeah, that's a thing. So, but it even comes into the spiritual world, okay? It comes down to missions. It comes down to prayer meetings, even VBSs. We can start these things, but forget why we're even doing them, right? And so, and that's the fear that I have, is that we will not finish the work, okay? That if God is speaking to our hearts and leading us in these directions, like, let's finish this job. And it's even, guys, I get it, it's hard to even know when the job is done, or when God's calling you out of stuff, or like when you get distracted and then you're just off, right? And so it's easy to get distracted and then not finish the job that the Lord set out. I get it, and boy, do I get it. But forgetting what God told us to do, thanks, Kirsten, let's finish the job. But those who are doing the work of the Lord, right? Like, some aren't getting distracted. Some aren't needing to be like, I need to get back to doing what God called me to do there. Some are actually like in it, right? They're like, I know I'm in the Lord's will. I'm praying for it. I'm doing what God's leading me to do. Praise the Lord. We have a lot of that. We have a lot of that in our church. And man, it is a blessing just to be a part of it, okay? And so us who are just serving the Lord and doing what God's called us to do, let's finish that work. Right? That's what I feel Jesus is saying here. Finish the work of him who sent you. Right on. So some scholars have said, right, from verse 35, right, say, this was a confusing part to me, so I had to look up some stuff. I had to Google some stuff. It said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest," right? So I was like, man, Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? So did some studying, and apparently when you go and you spread seeds and you're sowing wheat seeds and things like that, I guess in 4 months, you'll have the harvest. So Jesus is saying, don't say to yourselves, well, I'll harvest in 4 months. Okay, I'm going to get to work in 4 months. Lord, like, give me that time. We just sowed. Give me 4 months, and then I'm going to harvest. Okay, that's not what Jesus is saying. He says, the harvest is now. The harvest is white, right? And in the portion of Scripture, they are white already to harvest. And I can imagine, perhaps, right? This is all speculation. I'll just get that out of the way. But Jesus is standing over this, like, glowy, wisping field of grain, and he's like, oh, the fields are harvest ready or something. And he's just looking at this. And then all of a sudden, all these people are still coming, right, from that lady that told him, right? God planted a seed in her heart. That was awesome. And now all of a sudden, here's this harvest, right, of people coming. And that's what Jesus is interested in. He's interested in a harvest of souls. It sounds weird for me to say it like that, but like that's kind of what God's all about. He wants a harvest of believers. He wants a harvest of souls. That's what the Lord's about. And so I'm reminded, though, the Samaritan seed was just planted in her heart like moments ago. Like God planted this seed. She went into town, brought all these people back, and she's ready to be harvested. Like she's just ready for the word, I suppose. And so that's what Jesus is saying. Behold, as these people are coming on, look unto the harvest. These people are white and ready. They heard the words and they're like, hey, is this the Christ? And she's saying, this is the guy that told me all the things. He's the Christ. And they're like, ready. Imagine that here now. Let's flip up the mirror and just be like, man, are we ready for the harvest? That'd be awesome. And there was a missions revival one time, right? And I think a lot of you probably remember this. Charles Elliott, he was blind. He up here and he preached, right? And so profound, he says, the harvest is not only white, it's rotting in the fields. And I was like, oh, that's good. But then that means that comes with a responsibility. I can say, oh, yeah, that's good, and then not do nothing. That's foolish to me, right? For me to just ignore what God's speaking in my heart about, or I can do something about it. Well, that's, you know, submission to the Lord all along the way. That's just what it takes. Is God, I'll say yes, even though it's not comfortable or convenient, but God wins. Okay, so you can imagine Jesus turning and looking to the disciples, and the woman had just gone to town, that whole thing, mass harvest, blah, blah, blah. I'm just reading through my notes, that's why I'm like saying that. The people were ready for the word. They were hungry for the word. He wasn't just talking about a wheat field, obviously. He was talking about people. And I was begging this question in Silver Creek today. If God had brought you a person, if God put someone in your life that you needed to share with, right, for whatever reason, who knows how you come into contact with this person. If God brought you someone and this conversation went straight to the Lord or something, however God does it, are you prepared to share the gospel with them? Do you know how to share the gospel? And I just loved looking around and begging that question. Could you present the Lord Jesus Christ to that person? And so I'm working a lot at Shanks, okay? And I'm sitting there with this guy, and we're working on the floors, and we're doing this, and the conversation turns to spiritual. And he's revealing to me some of the things, and he seems real knowledgeable about this stuff. And I ask him, okay, you know, sir, if I had 2 minutes, right, to live, there's a knife in my back and I'm going to die, and I've got 2 minutes, and I said, I don't want to die and go to hell. How do I get to heaven? What are you going to say? And then he goes on and he doesn't give me the gospel. And so, and then, some time, and he explains some stories, and I just want to listen. I just want to feel him out. I don't want to make him feel bad. And then I said, man, I got a minute and a half. How do I get to heaven? And all, by golly, he could not share the gospel with me. And I was asking it, like, please tell me what I got to do. And I would have died and went to hell. So that told me, I'm like, man, how many other people know how to just simply share the gospel? Maybe it's not simple, but I know this, it's the best kept secret. The story in our lives. And I know this is Ray Comfort, right? Like, he's taught me a lot. But it's good. It's good to challenge others with this stuff. So I was able to challenge him. And, we still have a really good working relationship, and I get to ask him. And I'm going to say, hey, this is what you got to say, right? And then I'm going to give him the gospel. And hopefully he's saved. We'll figure it out. Okay. But anyhow, wonderful question. Wonderful question to consider your heart for. Okay, someone needs to sow the seed. Someone needs to bring in the harvest, and you fit in somewhere. Okay, and these are two different people in the same time. It takes one person to sow the seed, but the people don't come to the Lord the very first time they hear the gospel either. We know this. This isn't profound, but again, it's just this process that somebody has to go through. So you're going to fit in somewhere, whether you're sowing the seed or whether you're reaping or you're just cultivating. And so the Bible here tells us that he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together, okay? I have this feeling that you, that a person reaping is also just tending to the harvest, okay? It may not be somebody calling on the Lord, but it could be just you are also helping cultivate this heart. And that's where we all fit in. We don't know where we are in the process or how God's going to use it, but let's be ready for it, I say. So a little challenge there. And then I'm reminded. In 1997, it took 3 minutes and 27 seconds for the Titans to score. 20 plays, 90 yards, penalties, and the point is they didn't score on the first play, okay? It takes time to get there, to get to where you're going, all right? The world record for the 4x1 relay is 37 seconds. The person that starts the race does not finish the race, right? So again, it's just there are many things in this world that don't happen right when it starts. All right, Jesus reminds his disciples that working in the fields will be fruitful, right? He reminds us, working in the fields will be fruitful. Fruit unto eternal life, he says. Perhaps this is Christ reminding them of eternal rewards, okay? Rewards that the sower and the reaper will both receive in heaven. And I don't like to get a lot into rewards because I feel too like schmoozy, like yes, do this for the work of the reward, and I don't like that. But we know that God says that he will reward, and praise the Lord. I don't know what that always looks like. The Bible talks about crowns, and if the Lord, you know, throws a crown my way, praise the Lord. And then I hear these are crowns we just cast back at him. Right, I just hear that. So I'm like, man, you know what? If I'm just with God in eternity and that's all I get, that's enough, right? That is enough. Whew. Because I've read Revelation, man, and I don't want to go to the other place. So there we are with that. So here I was, right, serving the Lord at CBBC, and we're doing a vacation Bible school 1 year. Okay, and this was, oh boy, I remember it was in the other room, okay? There was not a spot on the wall that you could even lean on the wall because it was all full of reapers. Funny word to use, but all these helpers. I mean, there wasn't a spot to sit. Kids were packed, and me and Tessa, we're serving, right? We're preaching, and I'm doing this, and God gave me a message, and later on I hear that Alana Bedsoul calls on the Lord. And I'm just like, this is amazing. Oh, my soul. So somebody tells me that, and I don't know who led her to the Lord. Maybe Tammy, maybe somebody else. I don't actually know. I get this news, and it's just like, I mean, we are rejoicing, right? And guess what? I'm not the one who sowed the seed. I'm not the one. There were so many people all along the process that cultivated that little girl's heart. And I was just a part of the process. And again, it says here, and he that reapeth, both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You better believe we all were rejoicing together. It was a beautiful thing. God won that day, okay? It was cool, so I wanted to share that. And yes, the reapers and the sowers will rejoice today. Kind of wrapping things up here. Verse 38, we pick up where someone left off, okay? So I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labor. So basically, we're picking up where other people are leaving off, okay? That's what I get out of that is certainly when someone's, you know, if someone's spiritual, somebody planted that seed, somebody ministered along the way, and I'm just going to take it to the next stage as God leads and gives opportunity too. Let us go into the harvest. Okay, here's the challenge. Here's the charge. Let us go into the harvest and reap or be prepared to plant. Let's at least have the message at the forefront of our minds that we can plant seeds. Look what happens. Verse 39, bam. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. For the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Check this out. This is cool. Jesus rocks, just so you know. Jesus, stay with a couple more days. Okay. Like, yes, 2 days Jesus stayed with them. 2 days. If somebody asked me to stay with them 2 days, you're like, hey, man, I need help back here another day. Like, I got to be ready for that, right? I got to be ready to just say yes. And like Jesus stayed with 2 days. Like, where am I going to serve 2 days at? I'm looking for that spot. Like, Jesus is my example. Here we go. And many more believe because of his own word. And that's the beautiful thing, okay? The believers. And he said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Bam! What a wonderful little plant there too. So Jesus spent 2 days preaching, ministering, serving, loving, whatever they needed. He is our example. So let's turn to the Lord, submit our lives to him. Okay, there's the charge. I know the distractions are there, the hobbies, the entertainment, the everything. 2023 is going to happen. It's going to happen. But you all have a choice what you allow into your lives. Okay, you all have that choice today, what you're going to allow in. As Jesus is the Lord of our example, let us follow him in the Savior's footsteps. Be satisfied with doing the will of him and finishing the work he has for us. So that's the message I have today. And you know what? It's a blessing to go there and to preach and, you know, just to bring that. So